We are going to take a break from John this morning, and we are going to look at verse 69 through 75. Yeah, that was a lot, 29 through 75. Woo! What's that?
Say it again.
Okay, Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 through 75. Now, you're probably wondering, what song am I naming my message after this morning? Everyone was kung fu fighting. How about that? Some of you know that song. Some of you wish you never knew that song. I've entitled my message, Everyone's Kung Fu Fighting, What It Means to Be a Kung Fu Christian. So let's read our verses, and you're going to understand why I've entitled it Kung Fu Christian. Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth," and began to deny him with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. Now, you read that and you know why I've entitled it Kung Fu Christian, don't you? Okay, maybe not. Listen, I like Kung Fu. I like it more than, say, karate. Karate is real stiff, but Kung Fu is unique because in Kung Fu, they like to take on the attributes of animals. They do. Like in Kung Fu, you can be like a snake or a cat or an eagle, right? Like one time, three guys wanted to fight me, and I was like a chicken. That's my Kung Fu. That's funny. It is funny. But you know, it's not funny when as Christians, we act like that. We're more like Christian chickens than we are Christian Kung Fu artists. Listen, imagine turning on Saturday morning Kung Fu, and you know, if you've seen one Kung Fu movie, you've seen them all. But imagine you turn on a Kung Fu theater and the hero were to act like that, like a chicken. It would not be impressive. But what's sad is so often as Christians, that's how we act. We're chickens. Someone comes around and we have an opportunity to share Christ and we peck at the ground. We're pecking at the ground instead of standing up and fighting. It's so, so important that we take a stance for Christ. In the spiritual world, we come to church. We come here this morning to train. That's what this is about. It's training. It's equipping you. It's equipping by taking in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we learn it, we understand it, we comprehend it by the leading of God's Spirit and by hours of study. We spend some time studying the Word to pull out the nuggets so that we can be equipped to share the gospel, to stand up, to be bold. See, Christians are like martial artists. We train to become better at what we do. For instance, a martial artist can train and train. A real martial artist could spar with someone like me who can't fight to save his life, and he can be gentle and not hurt me because he's trained. As you train and learn how to share your faith, you become more effective. You gain more control till you get to the point where you can do it in such an effective, loving way that you really have a chance to make an impact. But yet we wimp out. We wimp out, and it's not funny at all. It doesn't look funny when a Christian is a chicken. It doesn't. And that's what Peter is doing here. So this morning, we are going to learn how to be Kung Fu Christians by watching what Peter is doing and not do what he's doing. This is an example of what not to do. Now listen, earlier in this gospel and other gospel accounts prior to this event, Peter was overconfident. He was standing there with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, you know what? You guys are going to scatter." And he says, "Oh, no, wait, Jesus. All the rest of the disciples are going to scatter, but not me, bro. I'm with you." he was overconfident. And then later on, Jesus says, hey guys, I'm going to go pray. You guys be praying and watching. And Jesus comes back and they're sleeping. He says, wake up, dudes, pray. And he leaves and comes back and they're sleeping. So first Peter was overconfident, and then Peter is sleeping when he should be praying. And then here in this account, we have Peter following afar off. He's following Jesus from a distance. There are Christians who follow Jesus from a distance. Not good. We also see in the account, in other gospel accounts, that he's warming his hands by the enemy's fire. You know, when Christians think that they can hang out with non-believers and party and have a good time and think that that's giving glory to God, they're mistaken. Sadly, sadly mistaken. And of course, the overconfidence, Peter sleeping, following Jesus from afar off, warming his hands by the enemy's fire, all lead to Peter denying Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. You know, one commentator, now you got to realize that Peter is torn. Because he loves his Jesus. He loves Jesus. And he wants to be where Jesus is. But he's afraid that he could die. Because he knows the religious leader want to kill Jesus. So his desire to be close to Jesus, but his fear of dying have him torn. One commentator said that Peter is like a man whose mother-in-law drives off the cliff with his Mercedes. Torn about how to feel. Some of you will get that on the way home. Oh, I get it. See, I knew you'd get it. It took her a while. That was like a joke grenade. You pull the pin and you wait. Okay. Side note, something interesting. In case you study this on your own, it seems to be that there's a contradiction in the gospel account. See, John 18:13 reports that they were first taken to the house of Annas, the former high priest. But in Matthew 26:57, it speaks of going to Caiaphas, the ruling high priest at the time, who is the son-in-law of Annas. Now, you're saying, well, whose house did they go to? Listen, in those times, it was quite common for families to live together, especially when they had some kind of stature, because the house was pretty big, right? And it's not like there's an abundance of beach houses or beautiful houses. So they would just kind of say, hey, this is a nice place. Why don't we just all live together? So there's no contradiction. I needed to share that with you in case you were going to spend some time on your own. So getting back to our account here, Peter follows Jesus and his captors, and he wants to see the outcome of the trial. Now, he should have known what the outcome was. Why? Jesus has just shared with them at the Last Supper, listen, my body's going to be broken. My blood's going to be spilled. I'm going to go to the cross. One of you is going to betray me. So you should have known. Jesus says, told them over and over again, over and over again, I'm not going to be with you very long, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. But don't worry. He should have known. But he was afraid. But he kept following. You know, you got to give him some credit because none of the other disciples are there. So, hey, he's got some chutzpah, right? He's like, hey, I'll be there. I'm trying. He loves Christ. His love for Jesus is real, but it's weak. Isn't that how we are sometimes? Our love for Christ is real, but sometimes our love for Christ is weak. We don't stand up for him. We're ashamed. We hold back. Now look what it says. Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl, came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. In Mark chapter 14, verse 68, talking about the same account, it says that he said, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. In other words, in the vernacular, it's like Peter said, hey, me no speak any English. It's like, I don't, what you understand the length and the depth that we will go to keep from being persecuted. The alleys and the travel way that we will go in order to avoid having to stand up for Jesus is really unbelievable. Also, the third time that he is asked, you know, he's asked by one girl, a damsel, and then he's asked by a second girl, a servant girl, the second time. It's a different girl. And both times he's scared. The third time he's asked, we're told in John 18 that it's actually a relative of Malchus. Malchus is the guy that he chopped the ear off. in the garden. So basically, one of his relatives come up and say, hey, aren't you the guy that chopped off my cousin's ear? And he's like, no, it wasn't me. Well, how many fishermen do I know named Peter that have a sword that chucked? No. So you see, it's silly. But notice here as well that his statements keep getting more and more intense. First time he says, he denies it, I do not know what you are saying. The second time he denies it with an oath. I promise to God, I do not know. Wow. But the third time, he curses and he swears. The statement becomes more and more intense. Why? Because it becomes easier and easier to deny Christ. See, each time that someone is in our midst and we have an opportunity to share Christ and we don't do it, each time that we don't, it becomes easier for us to keep our mouth shut. The next time someone comes around, it's like, man, we don't become Christian Kung Fu cat, eagle. No, we become chameleons. That's not a good insect. They don't fight. They're very slow. They hide. They blend in. It's not good to be a Christian chameleon. You don't want to blend in, but we do. Why? Because we're afraid of persecution. And here, what is he afraid of? A little girl. A damsel, a little girl, a servant girl. Not a soldier with a spear and a sword. No, a little girl. He's afraid. The things that will put fear in our eyes. And imagine this. He's standing there in the courtyard, and everyone knows who Jesus is. He's the guy who's gone around healing people, feeding people, walking on water. He's put the religious leader in their place over and over again. So you know the buzz in the courtyard was all about Jesus. Probably people slamming him and he nothing. Look at, if he's the Messiah, why are they holding him captive? And just slamming him. And Peter says nothing to the defense of his Lord. You know, I go to a movie sometimes. You go to PG-13. You go to these movies and they'll have profanity in them. And that, you know, makes me cringe. It's like, ugh. But when someone takes the name of my Lord and Savior in vain, that's not entertainment to me. That's not entertainment. But yet here Paul is like standing in the crowd and they're probably taking Jesus' name and dragging it through the dirt. And he doesn't say a word. He does not say a word. He doesn't want to get into the fight. When you're at work or you're at school or you're at the store and someone starts taking the Lord's name in vain, do you just sit there and say, "Ooh, I'm just going to warm my hand by the fire. I do not know. I have no association with Jesus." Or do you take a stand? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. We're to be in a fight. But here, Peter's afraid because he's like, well, if they're going to kill Jesus, they're going to kill me too. I don't want to die. So he has regrets. He has fear and he has regret. You know, his regret is probably, you know, he's thinking back, you know, I chopped that guard's ear off and Jesus told me to put my sword away. So I was too aggressive. And here he's afraid that he's going to die, so he's not aggressive enough. See, the Bible tells us to take up our cross and follow Jesus, but sometimes we take up our cross and we don't move. Why? Because we crucify ourselves between two crosses, between two thieves, fear of the future and regrets of the past. And we don't move. We just sit there. I regret what I did yesterday, but I'm afraid of what might happen tomorrow. When God wants us to go, he's like, go therefore, make disciples. Go therefore, go get active, be moving. I like what Will Rogers says. Will Rogers says, even if you're on the right road, if you're standing still, you're going to get run over. Listen, if you're standing still, I say move out of the way because I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut when it comes to Jesus. And if someone gets offended when I share Christ, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I love my Lord. He saved me. He can save you. Listen, if someone didn't open their mouth around you, you wouldn't know who Jesus is. Someone was a Kung Fu Christian in your life. And they said, I don't care if Pastor Randy gets mad or not. At that time, I wasn't Pastor Randy. I don't care if that Randy gets mad or not. He needs to know that Jesus loves him. And look at what happened. Thank God someone was a Kung Fu Christian and not a chicken. So here we have Peter possibly regretting the past. He's in the lair of the enemy, wondering if they're going to kill Jesus. You know what I hear from Christians a lot of times? It's like, I was at my work the other day, and we were on lunch break, and some people came over, and they were telling, like, nasty jokes and stuff, and then they started making jokes about Jesus, and they said one offensive. You know, I was going to say something, but I think I would have been too harsh, so the Lord held my tongue. What? You were going to say something? I wonder if that's what Peter was thinking. Man, I would say something, but Lord held my tongue. Listen, I want the Lord to hold my tongue, but I want him to hold it so he will move it for his glory, so that my tongue, my mouth speaks praises. How can praise come out of my mouth and something ungodly at the same time? It should not. I shouldn't take in ungodliness either. I need to guard my heart, my mind. So here he's like, I'm in the courtyard, but I'm afraid to say something. I don't know if he's thinking that. I'm going to hold my tongue. We need to share the Lord with the world. Listen, 1 Chronicles, I love this verse. Chapter 16, verse 24 of 1 Chronicles says, declare his glory among the heathen. Heathen, the sinners. Declare his glory, his marvelous works among the nation. You know what we're lacking when we don't share Christ? You know what we're lacking? Boldness. And you know why we're lacking boldness? Because we don't have his Holy Spirit in us. Let me prove it to you. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 4. Acts is right after the four Gospels. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 4. Look at this. I love this. Now, I'm going to read it to you from the King James because I really like the flavor of the King James on this verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. What's that? Okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Here we go. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and that wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I love that. You see, that is why I ask you to ask daily for God to fill you with his Spirit. Because if you get God's Spirit in you, I promise you, you will speak with boldness. Your Christianity will be an 8-degree black belt in truth and righteousness. You'll be effective. You'll be able to march in and pull down strongholds that the enemy has on people's lives. Ask for the Holy Spirit and be bold. Be shaken to the core with the fact that Jesus loves you and he loves them. And my gosh, we hold the keys to kingdom. We have the power unto salvation dwelling in us. And we want to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to say anything. I'm afraid. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or death. Oh, man. I don't care if I live or if I die, Christ is going to be glorified in this flesh, with this mouth, with the breath that leaves my body, because he has saved me. Listen, if you don't realize that, my friend, is some wicked kung fu. When you sit there and say, life or death, Christ be glorified, that's some awesome kung fu. It really is. But so many Christians, they don't get it. Oh, here's what I hear. I hear this often. You know, Pastor Randy, you know what I do? I witness with my life. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You do? But here, let me point an error, a flaw in that mentality. St. Francis of Assisi says, always share your faith and sometimes use words. Now, first problem, I never take advice from a guy with sissy in his name. That's the first problem. Witness with your life. Listen, how is someone going to know that your life is a witness? Well, they have to know that you're living out the Word of God. Here's a fact. There are some men and women who come to this church who know martial arts. There are. But you would never know it unless they told you that they practice the arts. You wouldn't know it. It is really amazing to me when a person comes and says, you know, I've worked at this job for 5 years, and I was talking with Jimmy or Susie or whoever, I was talking with them the other day, and you know what I found out? They're Christian. Wow, we've been working across the room from each other for 5 years, never knew we were, you know what that tells me? There are two Christian chickens in that room. Two Christian chickens, 5 years, never knew you were, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong. How can you be saved and have Christ in you and keep it a secret? Here's how. Because you know of him, you haven't met him personally. And that's not an insult. That's a challenge. Meet him today. Say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want your spirit in me. I want that power. I want to get in the fight. I want to see victory in the Lord. I want to get involved. Matthew 10:32 says, this is Jesus. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. If you go and you say, hey, Jesus is mine, he saved me. Then Jesus says, hey, Father, he's mine, I saved him. You see how that works? But if you're like, oh, I don't know, Jesus, I never knew him. I swear, I never knew him. Me no speak any English. Then Jesus says, hey, Dad, he don't speak English. I don't know who he is. You know what's a great contrast to Peter and his Christian chicken right here? 1 Samuel chapter 17, David, when he meets Goliath. What a great contrast. Really? You know, David, first of all, he was the tiniest of all his brothers. He's a little dude. He's a teenager. And here is this Philistine, giant of a man. Probably big hairy dude. Right? Think about this. This guy was so big, his spear, the head of his spear was 20 pounds. 20 pounds. That's what he would throw. And he was trained to kill. He was a fighter. What was David? He was a shepherd. With sheep in the field. And here are all the Israelite armies, all the champions of Israel, their armor. And they're standing across that valley, and there's that Goliath, huge dude. I challenge you and your God. And David walks up with his lunch for his brothers. And he hears it one time. Now that giant's been cursing the God of Israel day in, day out, day in, day out. And they're like all scared. David comes on there and he hears that. You took the name of my Lord in vain. You're going down, big boy. And Goliath sees little David. Who's going to challenge me? And David comes out, little skinny runt of a kid. And he goes, what am I, a dog that you send a stick? And David says, you come with that flesh and muscle, I come in the name of the living God. And he takes his sling and he starts swinging it like nunchucks. Boom, takes him down. Takes that big boy down. And those Philistines, all of a sudden they become the chickens. Because a little old David, some little old stick kid, no armor on, nothing. Just his little slingshot. And he takes that sword, probably twice his size, and he lifts it over his head, and just the weight of that sword coming down removes that Goliath's head. Can you imagine? One pastor I know says that maybe Goliath was still conscious while he was laying there comatose, you know, with that rock there, and he could see that sword. Imagine if that were the case. I don't think that's the case, but if it were, and he was thinking about all that day he sharpened that sword. and now that bad boy is coming down, and you can see the sunlight glistening off it. He's like, this is going to hurt. But what do we do? What do we do? We have God's Spirit in us. And we have opportunity to stand up for our beautiful Savior. as someone mocks our God, and we say, I'm afraid they might make fun of me. They might not invite me to the party next week. I'm just going to keep Jesus in my pocket, where he belongs, my back pocket. You see, Ephesians tells us Jesus Christ has paid for armor, beautiful armor for us to wear. And you know what we do? We put on this armor and we sit out on the sidelines and we watch other people in the battle. Oh, some of us, pull out our sword and we prepare hors d'oeuvres on that shield of faith and we're like, here you go, little tidbit of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? We got Christian bumper stickers or t-shirts. Notice I did that backwards. Christian bumper stickers or t-shirts. Keychains. Oh, you know what we do? We listen to Christian radio and we turn it up loud and roll down the windows. I'm witnessing. Put on the armor, the whole armor, and get in the fight. There's a beautiful story about a young man who played football, and his daddy was blind. So his daddy used to sit way up at the top of the bleachers near the speakers so that he could hear every play. Now his son was a mediocre football player, maybe less than mediocre. But one day, noticeably, that place that his dad always sat was empty. And that young man hit that field, and he won the game. I mean, he was blowing through players like it was nobody's business. And the coach came up to him and said, son, what has happened to you? I've never seen you play like that. And that young man with a tear in his eye said, my daddy died today. This was the first time he got to watch me play. Jesus Christ died, and he's watching you, and he's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. Look at them share. She's not ashamed of me. Just like I wasn't ashamed of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You know, when you realize what they did to Jesus Christ, they spit on him. They ripped his beard out with their hands. They put a blindfold on him so that he couldn't feel when the punch was coming to tense up his body, and he'd receive all of the blow. He was covered with spit. And he said, I'm doing this for you because I'm not ashamed of you. Why is it that you're ashamed of me? I love you. Share me with those who do not know me because I did it for them too. And so what kind of Christian are we? What kind of faith do we have? Are we like Peter? Are we like David? 1 Peter, now this is Peter who's writing this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be ready to give a defense to everyone for the hope that is in you. This is the same guy who was afraid of a little girl, and now he's saying, be ready to give a defense to anyone. Doesn't matter who, of the hope that is in you. See, in Kung Fu, the emphasis is on defense, redirecting. You punch, I redirect. Oh, you want to punch? Go over there, punch that. That's Kung Fu. Christianity, it's not that we want to attack people. I don't want to attack anybody. I'm not looking to make enemies. I'm looking to make brothers and sisters. I'm looking to expand my family. It's a completely different concept. It's more like the arts. So we're not offensive, we're defensive. But in that defense, we can win the fight, defending ourselves if we do it properly. Now look at the contrast also. Let's keep in mind. When Peter chopped the guard's ear off, Jesus said, hey, put your sword away. Enough of that. And then he healed the ear. Gave the guy a new ear. Awesome. He didn't say, oh, ye of little faith, you pull out your sword like some big man. No, he didn't rebuke him at all. But here, the next time that Jesus is going to talk to him, because realize this, we are told in one of the other Gospels that Jesus can hear Peter deny him. Oh, can you imagine how Jesus' heart broke? I mean, he knew it was going to happen. He told him, when the rooster crows, you will deny me, right? So imagine. But then when Jesus comes back in a glorified body, he comes up to Peter and he says, hey, do you love me? And Peter says, oh, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. In other words, do you love me? Then open your trap. Give them the word. Share Christ. Don't be ashamed of me. And he asked him three times, one for each time that Peter denied him. Do you love me? See, I'd rather be like Peter, too aggressive, and chop someone's ear off. Because listen, the guy who got his ear chopped off, do you think for 1 second he thought, I wonder if Peter loves Jesus? No, he knew that Peter was doing that to save his Lord, to stand up for his Lord. So there was no doubt at that moment that Peter loved Jesus. Even he's a fisherman and can't use a sword. He was trying to chop the guy's head off. He missed and got his ear because he's not a swordsman. But he's willing to lay down his life for his Lord and protect his Lord. So there was no doubt in anybody's mind that that Peter loved Jesus. But here, as he's warming his hands and he's denying him, Jesus has to say, man, as I watched you, as I heard you, and you didn't stand up for me, I got to wonder, do you love me? I got to wonder, do you love me? He says that about you and I, too. When we're in a crowd, when we're in a group, when we have an opportunity to share Christ, and we don't do it, Jesus is saying, I wonder if Pastor Randy even loves me. Today, I guess he doesn't love me. Scary thought, convicting thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe, woe, like look out. Shame on me if I preach not the gospel. I like what Bill Fay says. He says, if the gates of hell can't prevail, then I certainly can't blow it. If I share in a way that's unloving, that's unkind, I can't blow it. It's better that I share something than to keep my mouth shut. When you practice, the more you share your faith, the easier it gets. There's a saying that says, a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step. So maybe you've said, you know what, I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know enough. Pastor Randy, I don't know enough. When will I know that I know enough? You know, here's the thing. I'm not going to stand at the door with the Bible in my hand and say, okay, when you can snatch the Bible from my hand, you may leave, grasshopper. No, I'm not. It's not Kung Fu Theater here. All you need to do is share what you know. And if you know that Jesus loves you, share that. Just tell people, Jesus loves you. Please don't take my Lord's name in vain. Please, I don't want to hear a filthy joke. It's not funny to me. Please, I don't want to engage in sin because it's spit on my Lord and Savior. We need to be actively standing up for Christ. See, there are so many people in this world that are bankrupt spiritually. They have no hope. Kind of reminds me of a woman, didn't have a dime to her name. And someone decided to take her to the ocean. She had never seen the ocean in her life. And she dropped to her knees with tears and she says, oh my gosh, I didn't know there could be plenty of anything. Look at the abundance of water and of sand. She was bankrupt. Do you realize that people that you know that do not know Christ are bankrupt and they have no clue that there's an ocean of forgiveness, an ocean of grace, an ocean of mercy waiting for them and they haven't a clue. You are the sign. You are the one that can take them to the Lord. I love this verse, and I know it's Danny's cornerstone verse, but it's awesome. It's an awesome verse, and I need to read it to you because I love it. Listen to this. Listen to it as in line of what we are to be as Christians. John 15:9. As my Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us? He brought us salvation. He died for us. He preached the word. He served us. That's what we're to do. To be like Christ. Goes on. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, love one another. Listen, if you know someone who doesn't know the Lord, I don't care how nice they are. I don't care what they did for you last week. Without Jesus Christ, they are not going to be in heaven, period. They are going to hell. Sorry. You say, well, they're so nice. I don't care. There is no one righteous, no, not one. So if you know someone is going to hell and you don't share Christ with them, are you loving them? No. You're saying, you're going to burn and I don't care. But I love you. I really care about you. You know, I used to do this ministry called Neighborhood Prayer and Share, and we'd knock on doors and ask people if they needed prayer. And I remember one day in particular that I went to three separate doors, and at three separate doors, there were three guys with the same exact story. That's why I never forgot this day. Each guy said, angrily, someone already shared Jesus with me at work. This guy at work always talking about Jesus and Jesus that. And we continued to talk to them. By the time we were done talking to these three guys, all three of them had huge alligator tears and were broken in their heart. Yet not one of them accepted the Lord. But you know, we were so encouraged that day. Why? Because it was encouraging to know that there were people out there other than us sharing their faith. They had planted a seed, we had watered, and the water was showing. Someone else was going to harvest, and that's okay. It's all a part of the process. But you know, it breaks my heart when I realize 7% of churches of people who go to church are sharing their faith. 7%. We have about 150 or so people. That means between 10, 12 people in this church are sharing their faith. The rest of us are not. Ouch. Ouch. Imagine if 50% of us were sharing our faith here at HBC. Imagine if 100% of us were sharing our faith. What we could do in this valley, the difference we can make. That's the point here. Are you a blessing to Christ? I mean, we're adding to the church, we are, but the world is multiplying. We're losing ground. I like what it says in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And I know this, I must not preach it well enough because you don't want to see my feet. Just messing. Let's complete our scene here. Let's look at this last section. It says, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. You know what that means? He had the people of Galilee, that people, they had like a very heavy accent. It was almost like they were like Texans. We would equate it to being sounding like a hick. They were hicks. They were looked down upon. And so they're saying, your speech betray you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. This word curse is anathema. In other words, what he's saying is, may I be cursed by God. May I be eternally damned. Can you imagine the chills that ran down his spine as he said that? I swear! Here's the thing. He remembered at that moment. He just swore. He just said this horrible thing. Cursed. He uses profanity. And Jesus can hear him. And the rooster crows and he remembered. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Side note, this is very important. The Talmud, they would not allow a chicken or a rooster in the area. Why? Because birds don't care what they defile. Okay, if you've ever had a lot of birds, you know they don't care. They just defile. So they were afraid that something holy, some relic, some piece of the temple would be defiled if there were chickens and roosters running around. So they wouldn't allow them. So here we have a rooster crowing. So either this rooster had a very loud PA system, or this was a Rambo rooster who infiltrated the grounds, Or this was a sovereign rooster by the Lord who allowed this rooster to crow and fulfill this piece of prophecy that was brought upon him. Either way, it had to hit like a ton of bricks, because this was not commonplace for a rooster to crow. And what a very appropriate time, right after he took his denial of Christ to the utmost profanity and with a curse upon himself if he were lying, and he was lying. So no doubt he would go and weep bitterly. Now you and I pray to God that we never say, "I swear, curse me if I know Jesus." I pray we never get to that point. But the issue here, the reason why God wants us to see this, is because we are losing vision on why we're Christians in the first place. The reason you're here. Do you realize that the day you said, "Jesus, I want you in my life," that moment, your position in heaven was secure. Your place. So let me ask you a question, Christian. If this life is nothing, it's a vapor, and we looked at that on Wednesday. You missed it if you weren't here. But if this life is a vapor and it's a drop in the ocean compared to eternity, then why wouldn't the moment you say, "Jesus, I love you," he come and go, whoosh, take you up to heaven? I'll tell you why. Because we are to be his hands, his feet, his voice here on earth. I love what Warren Wiersbe says in his book on being a servant of God. Listen to this. "God is as concerned about the servant, us, as he is the service. If all God wanted to do was to get work done, he would send his angels and they would do it better and faster. But he not only wants to do something through us, he wants to do something in us. But he can't do that if we don't yield ourselves to his spirit or to his call." I like what one person says. And you've probably heard this before too. A bird doesn't fly to prove it's a bird, right? A bird flies because it is a bird. It's kind of like a Christian. A Christian doesn't do good works to prove he's a Christian. A Christian does good works because he is a Christian, right? That's simple. But I thought about this. Wait a minute. I know of a bird that doesn't fly, and I call him a chicken. And I know of a Christian who doesn't do good works, and I call him a chicken too. And the thing is, a bird that doesn't fly gets eaten. A Christian who doesn't serve the Lord, the devil roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Get sanctified or get chicken fried. You make the choice. God wants us to fly, soar on wings of eagles. God wants us to be actively sharing our faith. Like I said, James 2:17 says, "Faith without works is dead." God wants us to be alive in his spirit. God wants us to be bold. Who here wants to be a chicken? Huh? Is that something you go around, hey, guess what, guys, friends? I'm a chicken. I'm afraid. Or you say, hey, you know what? I'm bad to the bone in the Holy Spirit. I'll take you down in the name of Jesus. Which is it? Which is it? You going to be a chicken, Christian? Are you going to be a chicken? I challenge you. Stop being a chicken. And if you're going to fight with boldness. Fight with honor. Fight with pride. Fight like a lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we take communion, may we remember the boldness of Christ. May we remember how those who were filled with the Holy Spirit became bold to speak and shake the world with the truth of the gospel. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying. Thank you for being beaten and broken and bleeding for us. Father, we just love you. Just love you. We just love you. What a simplistic way of saying that you're everything that we need in this life, that you're our all in all. We just love you. Father, we adore you. We worship you. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I'd like to have one of the ushers pray over the elements. Hold on to the elements when you get them. We'll partake together.
Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, bright and true.
What a simple symbol of such a beautiful Savior. And it's a little broken cracker and a little cup of juice. It is to remind us and to help us remember the fact that all of our sins, every sin that you and I have ever committed, Jesus paid for it. He didn't have to. He created us. And He went up to the cross to buy us back. His very creation, He bought us back. Why? Because we sold ourselves to sin. We made ourselves belong to sin by our choices. What choice are you going to make today, this week? To be the same? Business as usual? Christianity as usual? Are you going to say, no, Lord, I need boldness. You've done a wonderful thing for me. And so when we take this communion, it's so that we would remember, we would reflect. Jesus said, do this often, often. You can do this at home. You don't have to just wait to do it here. Do it with your family. But remember what Jesus did for you and then say, okay, Lord, you've done everything I need. You've saved me. What can I do for you? And He says, just tell people that I love them. That's all I need from you. That's why you're here. So as we take this bread, may it remind us that He was broken and beaten and that His flesh was ripped and torn apart. And the Bible tells us that for the joy was set before Him, He endured the shame of the cross, even death on the cross. For us, we were the joy. So as you take this wafer, remember that it was Jesus who paid your price. Let's partake. And the blood that He spilled upon that dirt, the blood that ran down that cross and poured out to that dirt, that beautiful, horrifically beautiful sight, that washed your sins and my sins white as snow. May we remember that we shouldn't return to those sins. May we crucify our flesh. And may this remind us to do that daily, as hard and as difficult as that is. If we're honest with ourselves, it's not easy. So as you partake of this, remember that He did this for your sins and my sins. So partake. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. We praise You for all that You are. Thank You for not leaving us in our sins. And thank You for the reminder that we are to live for You. And so, Father, as we sing one last song, may we offer up praises to our King. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing one.